Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is a gorgeous Saturday morning, July the 30th, 2011, and I'm humbly grateful to be with you as we take a look at three very interesting questions from people just like you who listen, some of you who get to watch Aspire down in San Diego, and I hope that some of the questions and whatever it is I can offer to you would help you. If you would like a little more information regarding what I do, what I'm all about, I'd be honored. Just come to the website at aspire.org. That's A-S-P-I-R-E.org, O-R-G. And if you go there, which I hope you do, you can take a look around, go listen to past radio programs, enjoy yourself. I hope there's podcasts, video casts there, commentaries that I've done during this month. I'll have a new one coming up for you soon in August. And, well, there's just a lot of things about our TV program, The Sound of One Hand Clapping, one of the most important series I think I've ever offered in my entire life. It was filmed the way I always wanted Aspire to be filmed. And if you're the kind of person that is interested beyond philosophy and religion, then I think you'll find what I have to offer on The Sound of One Hand Clapping very, very important. If you're here in Northern California or down in San Diego where you don't get to see the program, hold on to your seats. We're moving to YouTube next year. We're going to take all of the programs from day one when I was young and full of fire and all sorts of craziness. And we're going to put it up on YouTube. And you can watch Aspire from its inception, conception, and revelation, as you will find that we have something very unique to offer to you in the course of next year. And you'll be hearing more about this, and hopefully you'll help us not only convert these programs but maintain them and let them live on. Let's go to the first question. Number one, from Kay in San Diego. She says, I have watched you for many years and marveled. Well, don't be marveled, but I appreciate the kind words. And I wish in all of these years I could really understand you. I wish I could understand why I watch you, yet I watch you. Could you please explain, Kay? Kay, could I please explain? I'd like to be able to say I could explain it all to you, but it would be difficult. Just let me say this. There is a part of you, like many parts of all individuals, we all have it deep inside somewhere. There's a part of you that hasn't been covered up or ratified, logified, or theorized. It's a part of you that is still interested in that which lives within you, that is all about eternity and love. It lives within you as authentic. It lives within you as love. But most people have taken that and simply washed it away, forgotten about it, don't really live in it. They are people who have forgotten the meaning, the substance of life. They are only looking for what it is that makes them happy. Most people are looking for conformity. To be honest with you, Kay, they're looking for things that help their minds conform to the kind of truth they can understand. But what good is my understanding if it only reveals what I can understand? Do you understand what I mean? In other words, what if the only thing I can understand is the problem I've created for myself, and I can't go beyond that? Every time I think, every value system I have, it is about some kind of ugliness inside of me. I understand vengeance. I understand pride. I understand anger. I understand hate. I understand what I believe is right, and I understand what I believe is wrong. That's about all I understand. Now, in truth, What good is that? In absolute truth, what good is that? If I can only understand that which causes me the problem, what makes me think that the answer is in the cause? Hate never yet dispelled hate, said Gautama Buddha. Only love dispels hate, said the Buddha. What does that mean? Only love dispels hate. We think from a point of view that is unkind. We think from the body. We think from the mind. We think from self-preservation. That's all we think from. We don't go beyond anything other than self-preservation. And because I look at my life from that tethering of self-preservation, I don't make much goodness in my life. My goodness isn't really good. My goodness is about my selfishness and my pride and my vanity. I'm not really looking at the bigger picture of my life at all. I want to believe that I am. That works for me. Whatever I can believe I'm doing, that always works. But that doesn't mean I'm doing anything that's authentic. Authentic love, authentic goodness, the authentic of me, has nothing at all to do with what I want and what I believe in. The authentic is the authentic. The authentic works with love. It doesn't work with right and wrong. It doesn't work with good and bad. It is just about love. Now, how far can that love go? How far can your love go? If my love is only about hate, which it typically is, how far can I go? How good is my goodness? It isn't very good at all. So I say to you, look at your life from a different point of view. Instead of looking at your life from the point of view of fear and anger and wanting and having and getting and trying to have a better life through the chemistry of and the alchemy of my ego, my pride, my vanity, just listen to me. Listen without trying to understand. Just listen. Want nothing with all of your heart. And if you can just listen without hate being involved, you will understand that there is a part of you, a very blessed part of you, that has been listening to me for years only as a way to point to that which you already are, to point to the love that lives within you. It's all about love. Don't be confused. I am just a mere channel. Just a mere channel. And what I say here on the radio program, while being fairly important, the most important thing is, do you get it? Do you see the meaning of it? Do you see what I am pointing to? It is you and how beautiful you truly are inside yourself. The love that you truly are. That's what I'm pointing to. Don't be concerned about my finger. Look where I am pointing. I am pointing to you and to the beauty of you. And if you can understand that, if you can live in that kind of beauty, you have found the meaning of why you listen to me. And what I say won't be as important as the place you found inside you that allows you to hear what I am saying. Now you have found something really important. My words are merely words. They are just crumbs that fall from the table, as they were. But if you can listen to me as you, if you can remember, I'm poking a certain part of you. I'm trying to poke the part of you that is you. The part of you that has not been, shall we say, given enough. Enough love, enough kindness, enough anything. If you can understand that, if you can understand the beauty of that and what that all means, you will understand my teaching. Then it will become very clear. Then you will not be confused at all. I have a saying, and I hope it helps you, Kay. The saying is, let love live you. If you can let love live you, you will always understand what I'm doing here. You will never be confused. You will never wonder what it's all about. You will know. Let love live you. It works for me. I hope it works for you. And may this radio program that you listen to via my website at aspire.org and the TV program, may they serve you well. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, I've been on the TV for 28 years now, and people watch, and they don't really know why they're watching, because their logical mind won't let them understand what's really going on. But they are watching for many different reasons, all of which are happening simultaneously to them in a way that their minds can't catch. And that's why it's so interesting when I hear about this with people. It fascinates me. Stan, again in San Diego, you seem to have an answer, quote unquote, for everything in this world. So let me pose one more question. I hope it is not boring to you. Stan, if you only knew me, you would know I would never think that anything you would say would be boring, but let's go with it here. He asks, what are we doing here in this world, in this life? Do you know? Stan. Stan, next year I am going to spend an entire year with my students in karma. We're going to talk about karma. People think they understand karma, but they don't. They just think they do. Everything with karma is associated with the idea of good and bad, of right and wrong, and that's just not true. It's not the way the karmic thing works. Now, I could sit here and tell you a little bit about it, which I will, but you're not going to understand it. You have to know the intrinsic in you. You have to know what the word intrinsic means. It is the basic love and goodness of you as life. But most people can't go there. They don't go there because it's too hard to understand intrinsic. You have been taught one of two things, good or bad, right and wrong. You're either, Stan, a good person or you're a bad person. That's what you've been taught. That doesn't mean that's true. That's just what you have been taught. I am saying to you something different. I am not saying you are good or bad or right or wrong. Karma is what occurs inside of each person. First, you think of yourself as a person. You are not. If you can understand that you can't think who you are. Let me put it a better way. Forgive me. If you can't think about your own existence, you have come to the place where you have discovered your own existence. My existence lives beyond what my mind can frame it in thought, in word, in action, in anything. So if I continue to believe in myself as a thought, or continue to believe in myself as a concept, then I am going to miss entirely what is going on within me. But if I can realize without the need for there to be thought, if I can find myself in the gap and the pause, the space between my thoughts, then I have come to something immensely beautiful. I have come to love, and I've come to know love within me. And now I am no longer me any longer. I am just that which is. The problem with most of us, Stan, is that we don't know what we're doing here. We're here to let go of what we believe in so we can recognize we're here. We're here to recognize what we are so we can be here. Do you get that? You aren't here to be anything. You're not here to be anyone. You're here not as an encounter, but as a blessing. You are not here to be better than, have more, do more, get more. You are here as a blessing. You are life itself as love. Most people cannot go there. They cannot do this kind of thing. It's too hard for them to understand. And here's my point, Stan. Don't understand. Give up understanding. What is understanding but a mere intellectual effort? An effort that does nothing but stagnate me and my life. I have realized long ago, every time I have a thought, I have categorized something and I can have no more. It's like placing myself in a room and saying, I can have no more. I can never go beyond that room. A thought is taking my life and choking it to death. Thoughts take me into rooms and make me sit there and behave like a child. You can't go out that door. There's nothing out that door. Don't look out the windows because there are no windows. And before you know it, you're just sitting in this room, thinking that you're locked in it, where there are no windows and doors. But it is all an illusion. You can get up anytime you like and move right out. What are we here for? Not to make life a thought. If you make your life a thought, you will lose your life. Many people have died long ago, long before their bodies catch up. They are given this life as a divine experience, as something that can help them go beyond the beyond, where they have meaning to their life, and it has nothing to do with circumstance. You have to live unconscionably. People can't do that. They can't understand even the word unconscionable. That's why. You say, I seem to have an answer for everything. No, you already have too many answers. You have so many answers within you, you don't even know the right questions to ask anymore. And this is why it is so difficult for you to grow and mature. Maturity is not emotional. You can't grow emotionally mature, no matter what they say. It's baloney. And you can't grow mentally mature because you will just become more cunning, strategic. But you can grow spiritually. That is never ending. Eternal love. Eternal life. And I'm not talking in your body. I am not talking hocus pocus. You are love. Stan, I've never met you. You have written me before many times. Why don't you come and meet me at a workshop down in San Diego in September? Why do you hide behind the TV set? Please forgive me. Namaste. It is true. So many hide. Last question from Lang, down in San Diego. How can I love? Is it only through meditation? Yes, Lang, it is only through meditation. I know. You know, I have a hard time with the only. I just thought I'd play with you on that. You know, sometimes you run up against a love that is greater than your own. Sometimes it is with other people who have worked upon themselves, and ever so slightly you sense something different. And other times, well, it occurs through meditation. Sometimes you bump up against it in yourself and you find, oh, there's this great love in me. But in the end, you're going to have to meditate. I'm sorry to say, I hope you're not angry with me, but it is true. The more I meditate, the less I care about my emotions. And the more I enter into authentic meaning in my life. But I'm going to tell you, Lang, what's behind it all. Unless you hunger and thirst for love. Jesus called it hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Same thing. Unless I do hunger and thirst after love, I have nothing in my life that is meaningful. To hunger and thirst after love is to seek love at all costs to my vanity, my pride, my arrogance, my foolishness. It is to come to the place where I no longer allow myself to be tethered by thought and fear. It is a place I come to where love exists, not as a concept, nothing that pleasures my body, my mind, my arrogance, but absolutely fulfills me, touches a certain part of my being, and awakens me to that being. In fact, my ego falls away, my thoughts fall away, and all I am left with is love, love, love. But it is not the love we know through the body and mind, which is connected to pride and vanity. I know many people who are so afraid of growing old because they won't be beautiful anymore. It is so sad, but it is true. You may change your form. I have changed my form. But what lives within me has always been there. I always laugh at myself because I remember that old joke, you could have had a V8. Don't let that happen to you, Lang. Go for the love. And yes, find it in everything. And then one day you will find it through silence, meditation. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you in, I would love to hear from you. Please come to my gorgeous new website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you go there, you can go to media. You'll see a column there at the top, Home, About Aspire, The Path. It's very interesting. If you get to media, you click on that, and a beautiful table of contents will come down, and you can hit radio programs, and you can email me from there if you like. I'd love to hear from you. I hope you would take a look at my series, The Sound of One Hand Clapping. This 4-disc set with 8 different discourses on it on the series of The Sound of One Hand Clapping is there to be of service to you. And if you can, go to the website and click on The Sound of One Hand Clapping. You'll see it there. You will be able to hear little snippets, that's what I call them, of my discourses that I made for you. They're very simple. Anyone can understand them, quote-unquote. Well, not anyone. Why am I saying that's not true? You got to have some sense of intelligence. Anyway, I'm not going to say any more about that. If you have some semblance of intelligence, you will get it, and you will be able to understand, oh my God, he's not talking philosophy and religion. He is talking about my life. These beautiful Zen stories that are there are in the book Zen Flesh, Zen Bones. And if you haven't got that book, you might want to go look for it and see it online. Or just listen to the CDs I've offered to you. You'll find they're very, very powerful. You can order your CDs via the internet, via my website at aspire.org, or you can give me a call. Right now I'm at the Carl Cherry Center doing discourse, but you can give me a call at 831-622-8410. That's 831-622-8410, and you can put your donation on Visa or MasterCard. Parts of your donation, about 80%, is tax deductible. I will send you a receipt for your income tax, and that's true with everything on my website if you make a donation. And I'll send off your CDs right away. I think you will find them very insightful, very helpful, especially if you're looking not for answers, but if you're a person of insight, you will know. Hope you become a sponsor, too, because that's about the only way we'll be able to stay on the radio. We'll talk about that more later. I'm out of here. I'm grateful you listened. I hope you order your CDs, and I hope you have a beautiful Saturday. I'm at the Carl Cherry Center right now, and I hope you join us some Saturday morning from about 9:30 to 10. Be honored to have you there. 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel, if you're ever in the area. Have a wonderful day. Be back on the air tomorrow morning at 9:04. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.